We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Now, today I want to focus or sit on Mark chapter 5. I'll be focusing a lot more on verse 21 to 34 of Mark chapter 5. Now, on Mark chapter 5, Mark actually outlines to us three great miracles. But the third one, which I call the third one, the one that I will focus on today, it's like this, you know, whilst I was reading this, it came to me, it's like, you know, I could see Mark, you know, writing down, oh, Jesus did this and that. I think this miracle that I'm going to focus on today, personally, whilst reading it, you know, it came across as if, you know, this lady, which we focus on today, it's like she hijacked Mark's writing. It's like, you know, she wasn't meant to be there, you know, but she decided to hijack the story and put herself in Mark's gospel. So Mark chapter 5 opens up where Jesus actually heals a demon-possessed man whom, you know, he had legions of demons within him. They would bind him with chains, but then he was so strong, he had so many demons, yet he would just break off the chains. People just gave up on him. He was just there in the cemeteries by himself, and Jesus came and healed him, and there were, like, the Bible says there were 2,000 pigs around. So Jesus cast out the demons into the pigs, and the Bible says that the pigs fell into the lake and they drowned. So the people of that region were so angry that, you know, that their bacons were no more, right? That their pork chops were gone. So they came to Jesus like, oh man, you know, what have you just done? So, you know, what happened to our pork chops and our bacon? So please leave our region and go. And Jesus left that region. And as he got into the boat and crossed to the other side, you know, of town, there was a man, a synagogue leader, the Bible says, by the name of Jairus. Now, Jairus's daughter was very, very sick. And Jairus, the Bible says, he came before Jesus and kneeled down at his feet and said, Lord, please, my daughter is not well. She's dying. Can you please come to my house and heal my daughter? Now, whilst Jesus was going to Jairus's house, this is where he got hijacked. This is where he got hijacked. That's why I said, actually, you know, this story that I'm going to focus on today, this narrative, I don't think it was meant to be there, but this lady, she decided to hijack Jesus, and Mark had no choice but to put that gospel into this book. Now, I'm going to talk to us on the subject, the touch. The touch. I'm going to talk to us this morning on the subject, the touch. The touch. For 12 years, she suffered. For 12 long years, she suffered. Shame and pain had actually made residence on her shoulders. For those 12 years, she walked with her eyes cast down to the ground, like this, hoping that no one would notice her. But they did. People would see her coming down from the street, and they will quickly run to the other side of the road because no one wanted to associate or even cross paths with her. People were so terrified that whatever she had would, you know, would infect them, you know, in the process. So nobody wanted to cross paths or even associate with her. For 12 years, she suffered. Understanding, church, that this was no ordinary condition. She suffered daily. She began losing vital vitamins and minerals. Her skin began to turn pale. Her hands were constantly cold. For those 12 years, church, she visited doctor after doctor, hoping that her situation would get better. But instead, it grew worse. I would like to think many of us are either going or have been through a situation where you try everything by your ability to fix it, but the harder you try to fix it, the worse it becomes. Maybe I'm the only one. You try consulting a friend about your situation, but in the end, you come out with a friend's diagnostic. How many of us have those friends? They're very good and come to diagnosing you. Yeah. You consult your GP, you come out with a GP's diagnostic. And to make matters even worse, you consult Google. What am I going to do? And you come out with an even worse diagnostic. How many of us have done that? Google.
Yeah.
And at the end, you feel worse than you did before. See, in life, church, we find ourselves through situations where, you know, be it relationships, be it jobs or addictions or families, that they are harder. The more we try to resolve these things by our own abilities, the worse it just becomes. That's what generally happens. And that's what was happening to this lady for 12 years, doctor upon doctor. Rather than her situation getting better, it became worse. See, she suffered at the hands of many physicians for 12 years. She suffered at the hands of many physicians. She went through appointment after appointment, tests upon tests, and in the end, she was sent home without a cure. Who am I speaking to this morning? Appointment after appointment, prescription after prescription, painkiller after painkillers, blood test after blood test, and yet you still find yourself with the same condition. That's what was happening to her. All she could hear was, oh, we are sorry. You know, we just need to run more tests. Oh, we are sorry. We'll get back to you. Oh, we are sorry. You see, your condition is very rare, so we may have to refer you to a specialist. For 12 years. And after those 12 long years, guess what happened? She was out of money. She was out of money and sent home with no cure. After 12 years, the Bible says she exhausted everything she had and she was sent home with no cure. Wow. Twelve long years, sent home with no cure. And finally, out of money. But the Bible shows us that even though she was out of money, she was not out of hope. As long as she was still able to open her eyes every morning, hope wasn't lost. But to tell you the truth, it wasn't very easy for her to hold on to hope. There were times where she didn't even want to wake up in the morning. This pain would strike her body with such intensity that she would curl up in a ball, you know, crying and screaming that wishing death would come, but it never did. She was at the end of her rope. She was ready to throw in the towel until she heard about Jesus. Until she heard about a man called Jesus. Why is it that for most of us, Jesus becomes an afterthought? Why is it that for most of us, Jesus only becomes relevant on our deathbed or in a tragedy? Why is it that? Think about it. She heard about Jesus. She heard about a man called Jesus. And Jesus was rumored within the town. He was rumored to be the Son of God. They said this Jesus man had the power to cast out demons. They said this Jesus man was able to make the blind see. They say this Jesus man was able to heal the sick. And he was passing by that Sunday morning. Looking out the window, she would hear a crowd, heavy crowd making noise. When she looked out the window, she saw a heavy crowd, a crowd making their way to this Jesus guy. And she knew this was her chance, her only chance. So do you know what she did? She jumped in the crowd. Trembling with fear, she jumped into the crowd. She went. Now, that Sunday morning, many were there for different reasons. See, others were there, you know, simply to see if this Jesus guy was for real. And others were there simply because they wanted to be spectators. And others you know, didn't even know why they were there, but they were there for somehow. But this woman, she jumped into the crowd with one purpose. which was to get well. She had one purpose in her mind, to get well. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. So she jumped in into the crowd. But the closer she got to him, the thicker the crowd became. The crowd was so, you know, the city was so crowded that people could barely move. And this woman was there just trying to find her way to Jesus. She kept trying. She said, if I can just touch him, I just need to touch him. Just let me touch the hem of his garment. I know the power of God is upon him. So I just need to touch him. Excuse me, sir. Move, sir. Excuse me. I just need to touch him. Have you ever been in a situation where you desperately need to touch Jesus? Have you ever been in that situation where you look at your life, you're like, you said, listen, there's nothing else I can do. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this and that. I've exhausted every avenues. I've got no money left, that Jesus has to do something. Heaven has to move. Have you ever been in that situation where Jesus is not just your last result, but your only result? Have you ever been to that situation? I'm reminded of a young queen, Hadassah, known as Queen Esther. She was desperate. She was a woman on a mission. She was absolutely desperate. A decree was given that her people will be wiped out from the face of the earth. And she was the only person, you know, around that could do something. So she went to her friends and colleagues and said, guys, fast with me. Let's ask fast so that God moves, so that heaven moves. Because if heaven doesn't move, we are all dead. Instead of fasting, she was fasting. She fasted. But then while she was in the process of fasting, the king wasn't seeing her. And the decree of the land was no one enters the king's court without being summoned. If you are not summoned, you are not allowed to enter the king's court. If you do, that's your head on the platter. She was a desperate woman. She said, I know the laws of the land. I know I'm not allowed to enter the king's court. But you know what? If I perish, I perish. I'm going to enter anyways. That was a woman on a desperate mission. That was a woman that was so desperate for breakthrough that she said, if I perish, I perish. And the Bible says that she entered the king's court. Oh, grace is good. And the king extended his golden scepter. And we know how the story ends. And people were saved. Have you ever been in that situation where you desperately needed heaven to move? This woman was a desperate woman on a mission. She was absolutely desperate. She needed heaven to move. She needed to touch Jesus. Something had to happen. So there she was. She kept moving. The problem with us today is that we try once, we try twice, we try three times. And if it doesn't work, we simply conclude, oh, it's okay. Maybe it's not God's will for me to... I'll let you finish the sentence yourself. But the Bible says, my Bible says in Matthew 11:12, the Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So in the midst of adversity, guess what she did? She pressed in. When all the odds were against her, she pressed in. When everyone else was looking down upon her, pushing her, elbows on her face, but yet she kept pushing in. She was knocked down to the ground, yet because she wanted to touch him so much, that became her strength, that became her focus. Being knocked down was no longer her focus. Her focus was to touch him. How many times have you been knocked down and got up? She had to touch him. She was a woman with a mission, and that mission was to touch Jesus. She had to touch him. My God, she had to touch him. And finally, she got just as close where she was just seeing the back of his head. But the crowd was so thick that she launched herself forward. And she was just about able to touch the hem of his garment with her fingers. And in that moment, church, something incredible began to happen. Something miraculous began to happen. Her skin color began to return. The pain on her body began to cease. And mostly, the bleeding had stopped. Have you ever been in a situation where you are so desperate to touch Jesus? How desperate are you to touch him? For 12 years, she suffered. Shame and pain had made residence on her shoulders. She walked the streets with her eyes cast down, hoping that no one would see her, but they did. People would see her coming from a distance and they'll run away because nobody wanted to associate or cross paths with her. She was a woman on a mission. She was desperate. What can we learn from this woman? What can we learn from this narrative? What made her touch so different from the rest of the people in the crowd? There was a crowd of people. There was a crowd of people. What made her touch so different? How did she manage to hijack Jesus while she was going elsewhere? I think one of the reasons why her touch was so different is that she had faith. Number one, she had faith. What is faith? Faith is a confidence of what we hope for. Faith is having confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what is not yet seen. Faith is having confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what has not yet been seen. And how does faith come? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. In verse 27, Mark says that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him with a struggle. She came up behind him and finally touched the cloak of his garment. But she had to hear. She had to hear. She had to hear. She had to hear. Who has God strategically placed in your life needing to hear the word of God? Who has God placed in your life needing to hear about Jesus? I sense in my spirit that there's someone listening to me today. There's someone listening to me that God has placed someone in your life needing to hear about Jesus. And God has also placed a word in your heart that that person needs to hear. That's what I sense in my spirit this morning. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. In Romans 10 verse 14, maybe see if you can help me out. Romans 10 verse 14. This is what the word of God says. Romans 10 verse 14. The word of God says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not? Excuse me, can you give me NIV, please? Give me NIV, if that's okay. Thank you very much. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone doing what? Preaching to them. And that person is you. The only way they will hear is by you preaching to them. There's someone in your life that God has placed in your life needing to hear about Jesus. Talk. When she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, something changed. We heard last week from the senior pastor preaching here that we should never underestimate the power of sowing the seed. That nothing just grows without a seed. Everything we see growing has a seed. That as we plant the word of God, as we sow the seed, the word of God, eventually, guess what happens? It grows. Never underestimate the power of sowing the seed, the word of God. She heard, and something began to happen. She heard. I'm reminded of a tree. There's a tree called, it's called the redwood tree. There's nothing red about it, by the way, just called the redwood tree. Now, redwood trees, this is the tallest tree on the planet Earth, the redwood tree, Google it. It's the longest tree, the tallest tree in amongst all the other trees. There's no tree taller than redwood tree. The thing about a redwood tree is that it grows more than 300 feet. It grows up more than 300 feet, the tallest tree on the earth. Now, what's interesting about these trees is that even though it grows up so tall, more than 300 feet, its root system isn't deep, actually, for a tree that long. Its root system only goes deep between 6 to 12 feet. And that's not long for a tree that long. But what makes these trees great is that they don't grow in one place. There's a picture there. They don't grow in one place. I mean, they don't grow in isolation. All of them grow together. Many of them. And as they grow, even though their seed is not as deep, what they do is they spread their seeds out wide. I think they say they spread their trees up to 100 feet outwards. And as they spread their trees out, guess what happens? They interlock with one another. You and I, church, we were not created to grow in isolation. God created us to be a body of Christ, to grow together, so that as we spread our wings, as we spread our roots and we interlocked, when the storms come, when the adversity comes, when the winds come, when the rain come, guess what? We stand. Why? Because we are grounded together with each other. Similar to this, you know, to this woman, when she was in isolation, for 12 years in isolation, nothing happened. But as she began to hear the word of God, guess what? She was a different woman. Amongst the crowd, there was one with a purpose, and her purpose was to touch Jesus Christ. Secondly, what can we learn from this narrative? She was expectant. This woman, she was expectant. She was expecting something from Jesus. She was a woman on a mission. She had a purpose. She was expecting something from Jesus. See, the Bible says in verse 28 that Mark says, because she thought to herself, she says, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be well. I'll be healed. If I can just touch his clothes, I will be well. She was expecting a miracle. She was expecting a breakthrough. So she spoke to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And she was pressing through the crowd. She kept speaking to herself. She had but one vision to just touch. I just have to touch him. All I have to do is for just my fingers to touch him. I just want to touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made well. That was her expectation. She was expecting to be healed. I don't care what I don't even have to touch his hand. I don't even need him to touch me. I just have to touch the hem of his garment. It hit me that within the gospel, within the miracles that Jesus performed, healing, bringing people to life, either he spoke or he touched. But not very often that someone came up in the crowd and touched Jesus. She had great faith. She was expecting, and she knew that she just needed to touch him. Church, see, sometimes we just have to stand up against that giant that is tormenting us. We just have to stand up to it and take God at his word. Literally, just recite God's word out loud. Let your ears hear it. Recite the word. Let your ears hear it. You know, if you are going through a battle that you are fighting a battle, just recite his words. Simply say that, you know, 1,000 may fall on my, on my left hand side and 10,000 on my right. But the word of God says what? They'll never come near me. They'll never touch me. And if you're going through an illness or sickness, you simply have to recite the word of God. Hear it out loud and simply say that. And simply say, I will live and I will not die. I will declare the works of the Lord in the land of the living. Because that's what the word of God says. And if you're going through a times of provision, something is lacking, you simply have to say, I was once young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. My children will not beg for bread. Because my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hill. And if he owned a cattle on 1,000 hill, how many cattle are there in one hill? Just have to say it, recite it, recite it, recite it, recite it. Say it out loud. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. She just kept reciting it. She kept reciting it until she believed it. And something happened. She was expecting something and something happened. She was expectant. Church, what are we expecting? Are you expecting something from God? Are you expecting something from God? That morning, that Sunday morning, many were there for different reasons. Some were there to see if this Jesus was actually for real. And some were there simply as spectators. Some were there and had no reason. They didn't even know why they were there, but there. Why are you here? Are you expecting something from the Lord? What are you expecting? Finally, she became vulnerable. Why was her touch so different from the rest of the crowd? She became vulnerable. She had to risk everything in order to gain everything. I'll say that again. She had to risk everything in order to gain everything. You may ask, how so? In Leviticus chapter 15, the Bible tells us very clearly that a woman with her condition was considered as unclean. Everything she sat on was unclean. Everything she touched was unclean. The clothes she wore was unclean, the Bible says. Basically, everything about her was unclean. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was going to a house of a synagogue leader named Jairus. So, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure that within that crowd, there were plenty of Pharisees. And guess what? These Pharisees memorized Leviticus 15. They knew a woman of her kind, a woman with her condition, had no place in that crowd. They knew it. Imagine if one of those Pharisees became aware of her condition. What would have happened to her? Imagine if one of the Pharisees spotted her with her condition. What would have happened to her? She was a sheep among wolves. Those men in that crowd, those religious men, were not so forgiving. She had to risk everything to be in that crowd in order for her to gain everything. If I can just touch him. She pressed on. She went. She pressed on. She went. She went. The Bible says in verse 30 that as she touched Jesus, something began to happen. Jesus stopped and looked into the crowd, and Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" I can imagine at this point, her heart stopped beating. Because she initially thought to herself, she has so much faith, she's like, you know what, I'm going to touch him, I'll sneak a miracle, and then I'm just going to get away from the crowd. But little did she know that Jesus had to stop. Jesus had to stop. Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Her heart stopped beating. At this point, see, she was in a dilemma. In one hand, after suffering for 12 years, she was finally healed. On the other hand, she knew that her coming out meant that her exposing herself. And those religious men, she knew those religious men, those Pharisees in that crowd, were not so forgiving. She was in a dilemma. But Jesus kept saying, "Who touched me?" I felt power leaving me. "Who touched me?" No longer able to hide. The Bible says she came to Jesus trembling and bowed down on her feet. She said, "Lord, I promise to tell the whole truth, and the whole truth, it was me who touched you. I'm so sorry. It was me who touched you." That morning she had every reason to fear. But Jesus wasn't that reason. Jesus was not that reason. Oh my goodness. Jesus was not that reason. She told Jesus the whole truth. "Lord, I've been sick for 12 years. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened to me." Church, there is a touch. There is a type of touch that demands a response from Christ. There is also a touch that demands no response from Him. Which is your touch? Which touch is yours? How do you want to touch Him? Just like anyone else in the crowd? Or do you want to touch Him in such a way, with such faith, that you demand a response from Him? You may be here this morning, singing the songs, praying the prayers, and listening to the word, yet still far away from Him. You may even look into His eyes and never see Him. You may even brush shoulders with Him and never recognize Him. There is a touch that demands a response from God. Do you have that touch? Do you have that touch? It hit me. It hit me that I don't know why I never actually thought of it this way, but I never saw it until recently when I was preparing for this. It hit me that this woman wasn't actually given a name. We don't know her name. The Bible doesn't call her Hannah or Miriam or Sarah. We don't know her name. We don't know her name. Even up to now, we don't know her name. I would like to think the reason why she doesn't have a specific name because she is you and me. That woman is you and me. She is the church. She is the church. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4:15 that it's the Bible says, we do not serve a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Glory be to God that we serve a high priest who can be touched. A high priest who willingly became unclean for us so that we can be made clean. That is the high priest we serve today. On the cross, when he said, it is finished, the Bible says in Matthew says that the curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom. This curtain was so strong. In the Old Testament, we learned that this curtain was so strong that if you put two bulls together on one side and the run, this curtain would not split. But when Jesus said it is done, the Bible says, Matthew says, the curtain tore from top to bottom. This is very symbolic because you and now have direct access to God. The veil that used to cover the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, now tore from top to bottom. Now you and I can walk to God. We can come and touch Him. We now have a direct access. If you don't know Him this morning, I want to remind you that the door has now been opened. You can come to Him. You can come to Him as you are, with your infirmities, with your sickness, with your problems. Come to Him as you are. Verse 25 opens up by telling us that there was a woman with an issue of blood who bled for 12 years. There was a woman. Verse 25 identify her as a woman who bled for 12 years. But Jesus closes that passage by calling her daughter. Go in peace, daughter. Your faith has healed you. Jesus gave her a new identity. I'm going to remind us this morning that it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what you have gone through. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Your identity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. People in the outside world, people out there might be walking away from you. They might see you coming and walk to the other side of the road. But I want to remind you that your identity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. As you come to Him, He will call you daughter. As you come to Him, He will call you son. That is who you are. He will give you a new identity. Father, we thank You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank You for what You're doing in this place. Lord, we feel Your presence in here, Lord God. And Lord, we acknowledge Your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the atmosphere of healing, for the atmosphere of new identity. Father, that You are giving us a new identity in this place, my God. Lord, for 12 years, we might have suffered at the hands of many physicians and many people, God. For many years, my Lord, we might even have been criticized by many, oh God. And Lord, this morning, You just want us to touch You. Oh, You became unclean so that we can become clean. You took upon Calvary, God, so that we can come to You as we are. Lord, we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to how things were. Father, we don't want to go back to our homes the way we left them. Father, we don't want to go back to the world like we left it before we walked into this place today, God. Father, we won't go back to the way it used to be. For Your presence has changed us. Your presence has changed us. So Holy Spirit, even as You are changing us this morning, Lord, we give You room to work. We give You room to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you sense the Lord speaking to you this morning, just open up your mouth to Him and just bless Him. Just say, Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You that Your promises are yes and amen. I thank You, Lord God, that Your promises will never fail. I thank You that Your promises will never return to You void. I thank You that as Your word comes out of Your mouth, it will not return to You empty, but it will accomplish what You have sent it to accomplish. So that which the Lord has spoken over your life, it will not return to Him empty. Father, I thank You. I thank you for what you are doing in my life. I thank you for what you are doing upon your church. I thank you for what you are doing, my Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are renewing us, that you are giving us a new life, that you are restoring life in us. My Lord, that the pain that we used to suffer so much, it's ceasing, my God. My Lord, where our hands were cold for such a long time, Father, Lord, you're warming them up again, Father. Where we've lost minerals and vitamins spiritually, physically, God, that you are restoring something upon your people's life this morning. Lord, we thank you, God. The atmosphere is changing in this place because the Lord is in this place. We acknowledge your presence today, God. Have your way, the Spirit of the living God. We bless you, God. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, the people of God say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.